Godly relationships. And what this will be covering, we're going to have six classes. Again, be from 9 to 10. We'll meet back again. I think it's from 2 to 3. Is that correct? Just say 2 to 3, okay? So we're splitting the class up. After this class this morning, you'll go right to your activities. And you can leave your Bibles here, which would be fine. They'll be fine here. And then you can come back and get them after your activities, okay? So again, we will meet back at 2 o'clock every afternoon for the second half of the class. But this class on godly relationships, and by the way, those that just came in, we do have notebooks for everybody if you want. They're just spiral notebooks with pens. And if you'd like to take some notes, if you have paper in your Bible, that's great. If you don't want to take notes, that's great. But I pray this will just be written in your heart as the Lord, again, carry us from this place. So, on our godly relationships, what we're going to cover here are basically the scriptural principles that make every relationship. This isn't specifically about courtship or marriage or anything of that nature. God's principles in relationships apply to every relationship you'll ever have. There are core foundational principles that make every relationship its best, the healthiest it could be, lasting, just beyond, again, as the Lord says, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And any of us today that are sitting here that have been in any type of a relationship, whether it's with a friend, whether it's with a spouse, whether maybe it's a relative or something like that, that has lasted, you know. And again, I'm talking godly, and I understand, obviously, everyone here is a child of God. But in those good, profitable relationships, you know God has shown you miracle after miracle of how He's kept you together and how He's sewn the fabric of that relationship. And God, just even in His mercy and grace, He works this word into you. He does, because He so loves you and by His grace and mercy. But we're talking about really becoming aware of the principles of God and the power of His scriptures that we might even pray for. And when we have challenges and when we're thinking about different relationships or we're in them, to be able to get on our knees and say, Lord, You promised these things to me. Help me to have a desire to pursue this and to go after this. And for You, which You've said You absolutely will do, because it's impossible for God to lie, You'll make these things happen in my relationships. So again, this isn't specific to one type of a relationship. These are God's foundational principles that are for every relationship. And those same principles apply whether it's a spouse, a courtship, whether it's friends, whether it's with your children, whether it's as parents. Every single relationship throughout our life are all empowered by the promises in the Word of God. And remember this. The Word of God lives in you. At the moment you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, His life came to live in you. And can you imagine Jesus Christ, the Word? It's there. It just has to be made known to you. You grow up in it. And obviously that happens through understanding, reading, being taught the Word of God, by prayer. And as well, too, even by experience, God brings this out there, because the trying of our faith is more precious than gold tried in the fire. And that's how God does these things. So as we begin, I want us to think about, let me get this straight, are we tender? Are we yielded and convinced in our lives that the Word of God is our life? That's huge, to understand that, as Galatians 2:20 tells us, that I'm crucified with Christ, that nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So again, that is the Word of God that's living in us, that is our life. And this is why this camp is such a precious time. It's for you to, again, ask the Lord, help me. because we all need help. Let me tell you something. None of us were born good. None of us were born right. We may think some people have a little bit sweeter disposition than others, but that doesn't mean anything with the Lord. It's what the Lord puts in our life. It's the joy and the love of God that's in our life. It's not just my demeanor with people. But as the joy of the Lord and the love of God comes in my life, let me tell you something. I will be loving. I'll be loving just like Jesus. I'll be caring just like Jesus. I'll love souls just like Jesus because of his life that grows up in us. So, in this, second one down, do I love him and trust his love for me? See, do you believe that God loves you with a perfect love? Do you really believe that? Do you believe that before he set a star in heaven, he saw you in his Son, he knew your life, and he set out those before ordained good works, that walk your whole life, every experience, that you should walk there in those things by faith? Do you believe that? Because it is true, whether or not you believe it or not, it's the truth. You have a perfect laid out life that God has for you to walk by faith. Now, do you remember about Abraham? When God called him out, Abraham said, I'm just going to go with God. I'll go. But Abraham didn't know where God was going to lead him. He didn't know where God was going to take him. But the one thing he was always pursuing was, it said, he sought the kingdom of God. In a sense, he sought the word of God, the truth. Just like we have the word of God, we have that for our entire life to just seek and to rely on no matter where God takes us. Well, if we do believe him that and trust him and his love for us to bring to us every relationship and to sustain every relationship, you will reap all of the benefits, all of his word, all of his promises in every single relationship that you'll have. But the only way that we're ever going to have this in our lives is to have complete confidence in the word of God. And there's one way that we have complete confidence in the word of God, and that's love. We have to believe in his perfect love. Galatians 5:6 tells us that faith worketh by love. Okay, I'm going to ask you something about your own lives. Think of a person, might be your parents, might be a grandparent, uncle, aunt, that you have the most confidence in anything that they would tell you. If they told you advice, if they told you that they were going to do something for you, that you would believe without a doubt that that person would do that. And I'll ask you, why do you believe that? Because they love you, right? Isn't that really how it works? I don't believe in people that don't love me. People that, even growing up, that didn't like me or something like that, that had something against me. If they told me something, I wasn't believing them. It just wouldn't happen. Whether or not it was true or not, I wouldn't believe them. But like my parents, I knew my parents unequivocally loved me. They absolutely loved us children. So when my parents would tell me things, I knew that it would be. I knew that it was right. And I went with it, because of the love that I was loved with. Even more so is the Word of God. Anything in the Word of God, you can know Scripture in your head, you can read it, you can recite Scripture as much as you want, but without the love of God, it will never be empowered in your life. That's the beautiful thing about being a young person. Just one verse, by the grace of God, can absolutely take absolute power in your life, because you can believe in the love of Jesus for your life. Does that make sense? I pray it does. Everything is the love of God. And then the more you receive of his love, the more you fall in love with him, the more you'll honor the Lord, the more you'll want the word of God. Now, isn't that interesting? Last night in this camp and all of these camps, oftentimes, there's an emphasis and an encouragement to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What was the verse that we read last night in Romans 5:5? That the love of God would be shed abroad. That means put in there like a geyser, a gusher, in our hearts. By who? By the Holy Ghost. That's why it's so important to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And not just to be filled, but to continue on in the fullness of the Holy Ghost and having all of that feeding. Because as we have that love in our hearts, the more you'll want to know the Word of God. There isn't anybody naturally born that wants to know the Word of God. There isn't. It has to be by His Spirit. It has to be, again, by the encouragement of the Lord. It's always love first, and then comes the believing. And the grace way is imperative for everything, especially healthy relationships. That we understand that it is the gift of God. We have no boast in this. Every good thing is a gift. It's from above. It's from God. And we thank the Lord for it. So, over the next few days, what we're going to visit on are God's promises that He gives us. And as He gives us these promises, and as we believe in them, our relationships will be healthy. And I think there's a lot of things about a healthy relationship. But a healthy relationship enhances you. It makes you a better person. A relationship should be something that causes you to be someone that you could have never been without the encouragement of that other life. That's a big thing, isn't it? And that works the other way as well, too. That person couldn't really be fully, in a sense, everything that person could be without the relationship of you in their life. That's a scriptural thing, because the joints in the body of Christ, and we'll get that here in a minute, they supply one another. They enrich one another. They encourage one another. So the first thing that it gives us in God's promises to our lives, healthy relationships. And then He gives us the best relationships. And I love this. He gives you, as that verse I already said, exceeding abundantly above all ye ask or think. That's a big thing. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to be encouraged of the Lord. And all these promises we're going to read this week. But I'm going to hit this hard right now. You all, and many of you, are in a time where relationships, and I'm talking about now we're going to courtship, finding a girlfriend, a boyfriend. You know, that becomes the absolute greatest quest and pursuit of my life. There isn't anything else that exists. I've got to. Where you got to be is on your knees. And trust God for that. And wait on God. And don't press it. And don't push it. And don't hurry it. And don't try to force something without, again, the instruction of the Lord and the encouragement of the love of God in your life. Because I'll assure you, as a child of God, when you get into relationships that He is not in, that He has not forged, and that He has not continued to build up and encourage in your lives, you'll be sorry. They will be discouragements to your life. They will hurt your life. And there is nothing of God in anything that He has for you that is not good for you. Finally, your relationships will be strong. They'll weather any storms. They won't just be flybys, drive-bys, whatever you want to say. They'll be solid. You'll go with one another. You'll be able to face things together and to be able to encourage one another in the Lord. Isn't that amazing that you might even have scripture? It's not an in a hug and in the love of God, that you might even be able to take a friend. Could you imagine this? Has anybody ever had this in experience with their friend to say, I'll pray with you? That wouldn't be something that was, gosh, what kind of weird deal is that? You know, but it was like, that's what I need. That's the only thing that's really going to set this right. Huh? Think about that right now. And all your friends and all your relationships, best friends, all of that. How many times have you prayed together? This isn't to judge or condemn. This isn't to encourage your heart to have the best that Christ has for you, to have more. And young people, you're fighting a good fight of faith. And it's different than, you know, I'm 50 now. 30 years ago, 35 years ago, it was a different world. It was still a wicked world. But the evil of man, the Bible tells us, is growing worse and worse and worse. It's more subtle, more things taken from you. Things happen so fast. The enemy is attacking so quickly. You need to be fortified even more. He's never changed. That armor is absolutely complete. But by the grace of God, to understand, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the Holy Ghost. And then finally, lasting relationships. With His love, His relationships don't fail and they don't tire. They go on. And those are the relationships, by the grace of God, that He gives us, and that means so much into our lives. But even though it's all there, you can just say, well, I'll ignore that. Well, here's your alternative. Bad relationships. Isn't that something? It's the opposite's true. As a child of God, if I'm not going to allow the Word of God to work in me and to be a testimony in my life, I'm going to have relationships that are unhealthy, that are going to hurt my life. And I want to make a point about this, because I'm confident that every one of us, as children of the King here today, we do have some good relationships. We do. I pray that they all would be good. But we have some that are isolated bad ones that we are not trusting God with, that maybe we don't want to trust God with. I have too much fun with this friend. There's no way I could pray together with him or her, because that would blow everything about our fun. I know that's nobody here. But bad relationships, I'm going to tell you something. When you allow that in, those seeds or whatever characteristics of a bad relationship, they don't just isolate in one. They start to spread. Unhealthy relationships begin to spread across the board. They eventually will. And the reason I know that is Galatians 5:9. Yes, this is talking about legality when we get into legal things as opposed to in the Word of God. But the Word of God is true for all of our lives. And in anything that we begin to allow into our lives to compromise truth, it's a symptomatic thing. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You start to be in a certain way in certain relationships, that anger, that bitterness, that deceit, whatever it is, it'll start to filter over, even with your relationships with your parents, even in your relationships with your brothers and sisters, even relationships with spouses. You're awful quiet, and I know some of the adults are, I can see you shaking your head. It's true, because the Word of God is true. Bad habits eventually surface in every single relationship. And that's why it's a good fight of faith, and it's every single moment. Okay? So, as we begin this, you can see my artistic value. You have not seen a PowerPoint like this. That's right. And it's not because you have altitude sickness. But every relationship is about really two people. You might say, well, we have a family dynamic. I've got a bunch of friends and everything. Yeah, but every relationship, even in the family dynamic and everything, it's about twos. You know, you have a relationship with someone and that one impacts another, but it's always about two first, okay? So this is what it is. It's about a couple. And as we get into this, we're going to take the Word of God in every single letter of the word couple. And here we go. You're going to get some educational value of this. We're going to hopefully keep that to a minimum. But we're going to use an acronym. Does anybody know what an acronym is? Good. That's right. Just shake your head and act like you know. Yeah, sure. I don't know. Is it an M&M? I don't know. It's a new one. But an acronym comes out of each one of the letters of a word. We make a word from each letter, and they represent something. And in this, we're going to use the word couple for our godly relationships to talk about six essential areas of a healthy relationship. Because we have six classes, the Lord is encouraged, we'll have six different thoughts. And this acronym that we're going to use, this couple, it's not original. I want you to know that. Couple has been used many times, many books. I love one for married folks. It's called Love and Respect. I think it's a very good read. There's some very encouraging things for couples. So I just want you to know that. But our class is going to be very different than that because it's not just about marriages. These are God's promises that bring forth the qualities and characteristics that make every relationship not just good, but the very best. So, without delay, we're going to get to our first one. Can you imagine? The letter C. All right? So, our letter C is going to represent the word close. When we desire to have a relationship, whether I pray it's a spouse, friend, family, whatever it is, that we really see the need to be close. And in close, I mean something that we value, something that truly we treasure, we hold dear, that we have a sincerity for every single relationship. So, in order to have godly relationships, first of all, we must desire to be close. We must desire, by God's grace, to love one another. Bible says that our love would even increase more and more toward one another. So this is really about the love of God and absolutely every single relationship. We then need to understand the only way we truly will be close. We'll get to that in here in just a moment, of the keys. And it's not just the keys, but it's just the truth. And the truth is the only reality and absolute facts of our life, that we have to have these things. And then finally, that we would value and appreciate, and in that value and appreciation, then we want to nurture every relationship. So not only does it stay close, but that it would grow even more close and more encouraging and more powerful to our lives. So the first thing about being close, and there's nothing more close than our oneness in Christ. Amen? He's made us one. In Christ, we're so one, it says there's neither Jew nor Greek, so nationality is out the window. There's neither bond nor free, so every demographic about income, side of the tracks, out the window. There's neither male nor female. Isn't that amazing? Even our sex, all of that, completely, absolutely irrelevant. We are absolutely one in Christ. So as I walk down here and pick up my paper, thank you, honeys, let's be thinking again of this oneness that the Lord gives us in Him. So the first principle for the oneness in Christ is in 2 Corinthians 6:14. And I know each and every one of you have heard this, hopefully from your parents, more importantly, from the mouth of God. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that is so vital. It is so important, brothers and sisters. It's everything. And that really brings us right back to where we began the study. I know this, Lord, because of your life in me. But do I really love you and respect you and treasure you, Lord, to honor you, to yield to this truth? Amen? Amen. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Every relationship, brothers and sisters, is subject to our relationship with God. See, if we buck up and harden our lives against this simple truth of being equally yoked together, how could we ever expect to have healthy or lasting and growing relationships? And the answer is you can't and you won't. And I'll give you the example of Samson. I hope most of you know about the life of Samson. He was that one that was touched of God, and as his hair would grow long, he would have that strength and power that was unbelievable. Nobody could ever touch him. He could take and rip down gates that weighed multiple tons and run over a hill with them. A lot of people say, oh yeah, Samson was this muscular dude and all that. I'm confident God made Samson a very puny little fella. There wasn't any way nobody was knowing how that strength happened, except it had to be of God. It wasn't the gym that made him strong. It was God. But there was something about Samson in that he got proud and haughty. And every relationship, especially with women that he wanted, was not with the people of God. And his parents even said to him, he said, now, Samson, you keep going over to these ungodly people and finding these girlfriends and these different ones you want to hang with and be with. Is there not one of our women of the people of God that could ever satisfy you? We'll get to that as well, too, in a minute, parents, but that's a pretty weak statement to me, and I don't mean to be judgmental. I think I would have just said, look, that ain't happening in my house. Amen? Now, maybe our parents are too lenient. Can you imagine me saying that? Hey, don't call my folks. But I would hope that you all, again, as we go back to love and respect and honor God enough to be tender, to say, you know what, I don't want to bond my life. I don't want to join my life with someone that's an unbeliever. I want the love of God to work powerfully in our relationship. See, no matter how much you care for an unbeliever in a friendship, a courtship, if you decide to remain with them, they will become a drag upon your life. Did you hear that? If people that are ungodly are the ones that you're going to stay with and be with, they will become a drag upon your life. I'm not saying that God cannot change them, but our instruction in God's word is to not be joined with them in the first place. Do you understand that? We don't get with them and say, oh, I'm going to change them. We don't entangle our hearts with somebody that's an unbeliever and then go back and say, yeah, well, I just got in a relationship with because I'm going to save them. God's not stupid. God's word is true. He is gracious and merciful. Don't get me wrong. But when you really love the Lord, you want to honor him and you want to please him. And God's instruction to us is to not be unequally yoked together. And this is such a paramount truth that's before you right now. All of our relationships are subject to our relationship with God. Jesus needs to be our first love, not our second love. Even when we have our first love naturally. Even my wife, Polly, I love her. I'm so thankful for her. But my relationship to her is subject to my relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus needs to be our first friend. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen? And praise God, our Heavenly Father, and the older ones will understand this, our Heavenly Father does know best, and that is the one that knows. So, if we are truly followers of Christ, then we will not love any relationship more than Him. So think about this, Matthew 10, 36 through 39. Go ahead and read this with me. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is what? Is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Isn't that something? I have to tell you a little story here about the second one especially. Whoa, that's like we're on a boat. Okay. I can't look at that. I want you to look at that, though. All right. But the son or daughter thing, it really got me because, you know, and I appreciate my sons being a little, and if that's too windy on you, it probably feels good, though, doesn't it? It's like you're in a car about 50 miles an hour. But especially with my sons, I mean, I absolutely adore them. I love them. And natural love can get in the way very quickly, and it's not perfect, I want you to understand. Only God's love is perfect. And what happens in our natural love is we don't love with God's love. It doesn't have wisdom. It doesn't have the encouragement of God. And even our natural love really oftentimes is not a good thing. It's not healthy. You begin to compromise. You begin to say, well, we'll do this, and that's at least okay. It's better than what everybody else is doing. Isn't that a great barometer? Huh? Isn't that what God tells us to do? Look what everybody else does and try to do a little bit better. That's really sad, isn't it? It is. And it's a sad result. But when you really love the Lord and He's first in our relationships, you want to honor God. And when you honor Him, He'll bless you. And He does. Now, in His blessings, it doesn't mean that magically everything's just going to be, oh my gosh, we're just skipping right through Wonderland. And it's happy sunshine and daisies popping up all over the place. Oftentimes when we make steps with the Lord, there is a nuclear explosion that just happened right then. Boom! And it's like, oh my gosh, I can't be doing this anymore. See, the enemy doesn't even want you to take one step, let alone two. But every step in the truth will encourage and fortify your life. And even though you may not see things with your eyes, as you believe God, listen to this verse. This is absolutely wonderful. He says to call those or count those things which be not as though they were. And in our relationships with our friends and our family, our moms and dads, we might even have parents today that aren't doing the right thing. And children are living more godly than their parents. And I pray that every child here does. Believe in the Lord and live a testimony for your life. That changes not only you, but it changes those around you. And we will get to that soon. You continue to live for the things of God. You don't have to worry about taking things out of your life. You live for the Lord. Those that don't want to live for the Lord will get out of your life. They will get away from you. They will not want to hang with you. And it will be A-okay. It really will. You'll have relationships. You'll have friendships. You'll have courtships that will be beyond anything you ever, ever imagined. It will. You may not be the most, as a matter of fact, I'll guarantee you, you will not be the most popular person. You may be the guy or the girl that everybody loves, but let me tell you something. You begin to truly allow the Lord to be your first love. It will whittle down, and it will whittle down fast. But what you will have, as the Lord always says, you will have gold and silver and precious stone. You won't just have wood, hay, and stubble in your relationships, ones that just burn up. And that's the last thing I want when I'm going into battle is, you know, we're marching together and, hey, man, we're having a great time. And, oh, wait, here comes the battle. And, yeah, aren't we having a good time? And, you know, you hear crickets behind you. It's like, wow, there's nobody here. I'm all alone. I want one like a Jonathan. Huh? And a David? Get it? Huh? That's what God is after in our lives, and that's what God does. So that's what's so beautiful about this. So, see, he says, whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Isn't that something? Everybody's out in life today. I got to find myself. You ever hear that? You'll hear it. Not a really good thing to hear from anybody, I'll guarantee you. That's never a good result. It is for you if it's a relationship you shouldn't be in. But you go after the Lord, let me tell you something, you will find it because it's Him. It's His life that lives in you. And it is so absolutely incredible. Okay, going on. Once again, know the Word. The Word has all of our answers. 2 Timothy 2:15. How do we know the Word? Study. Oh, isn't that amazing? Kind of like a principal in your class, huh? Why didn't you pass math? Because you didn't study. Why did you get a bad grade? Because you didn't study. Amen? Sorry to remind you of that. School's coming up. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Know the Word of God for yourself. That sword is all powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides anything that comes against it. It takes care of it. The Word of God is all powerful. But if you don't know by the grace of God how to use it, it's not going to do you any good. I know people that hold up the Word. I always kind of think about this. I've even said about myself before I'd really study it. I thought I knew it, and I cut myself with it. I don't want to cut myself with the sword, but sometimes that's a good thing. But the sword, praise God, needs to be wielded by the Holy Ghost, that love. All right? Praise the Lord. All right. So the word is your life. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Only let your life be the gospel. We go right back to that. Isn't the word of God your life? Isn't Jesus Christ the life that lives in you? Amen. Yes, 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 yes. So let the gospel live in you. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Isn't that wonderful? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? How about with your friends? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Have you ever had your friends kind of mock you or ridicule you about the things of God? That's okay. Doesn't mean that you have to run away from them. That might be the time that you get to testify to them. Say, wow, I saw you on YouTube. They actually, you know, somebody was filming up there at camp. I saw you crying and raising your hands. Would you be ashamed of that? God help us not to be. Amen? That's the real deal. That's what Christ, he's looking for in love. See, we fall in love with him and his beauty. He makes us like him. And in that, we'll have no trouble attracting ones that are in love with Christ too. Letting Christ live in you will attract the right people. Did you hear that? Letting Christ live in you will attract the right people. The ones that'll be hurtful to your life won't hang around. And you'll save yourself a lot of heartache because you won't have to unravel relationships that are unequally yoked together. All right? And I'll tell you this. It's better that those relationships end now. It's always better sooner than later. Now, the second principle. So the first one was what? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So by the grace of God, try to, just again, not try to, but be encouraged of the Lord. Lord, bring me in my relationships people that love the Lord. Let me seek that. Well, the second principle for closeness, Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in his name, there am I in the midst of them also. If you or who you are with is not comfortable with or does not love the name Jesus, you are with the wrong person. You think? Huh? And if you are not fellowshipping in the name of Jesus, then with who you are with, you are compromising. Amen? That's right. That doesn't mean every time I get with my friends, don't get me wrong, okay, we got to have prayer meeting before we go do this and all that. You know, if you want to, that's great. But it's talking about absolutely what's known in that relationship when we're together, when we're doing what we're doing. We have all the fun and all of the things and the things of God. But you know what? We're prone to make mistakes, aren't we? I'd rather be with a friend that when I'm starting to act up and get a little bit sinful in my thoughts, that friend might be quickened to say, you know what? That's not a good way to go. As opposed to having the friend that says, hey, you got the gasoline, I got the matches, and let's just blow ourselves up. Huh? Those are the friends you wind up in jail with. Those are the friends that you absolutely wind up in a car dead with. I'm just being honest. It happens, and you all know it does. You've had friends. You know people, whether it's by direct or the one removed. These things happen, and they happen fast. We need to be on guard by the grace of God. So, let's go on to the next one here. I don't want to go to that one yet. I'm talking about this first. So, it's paramount that we not only gather with people of like precious faith, we need to gather in the name of Jesus. Many Christians get together. How many of you have Christian friends? Huh? Well, I hope you all raise your hand. All right? That's great. How many of you have Christian friends But your fellowship with that friend is not in the name of Jesus. It's all right. That's not a healthy relationship, is it? See, just because you're equally yoked doesn't mean that the focus of that relationship, the health of that relationship, is in the gospel of Christ. You see what I'm saying? And God's not going to be fooled. And I've been there. Yeah, I'm going to go out with my Christian friends and we're going to go to a party and we're just going to get drunk as skunk. But I'm with a Christian friend, so it's not as bad as if I was with a sinner. What do you think? I think it's worse. Amen. Because I sure wouldn't love that. I don't want that to be my testimony. Now I'm not encouraging you. Yeah, well, when I'm going to go get drunk, I'm going to get drunk with sinners. Come on. Amen. First of all, that's something, by the grace of God, if that's something we enjoy doing or something that we're tended to do, we need to be on our knees to say, Lord, take that desire from me. And I'm not just isolating out that. You can just be mean-spirited to people. You could be ones that are hurtful. You get with a certain friend and you start to get mean to girls or mean to guys or bitter, jealous. That's just as destructive for your life as well as other people. See, we always try to rate things and judge things. But we'll get to that here later on in this study. It's all unprofitable. I was thinking about the relationships that God has given me and how gracious He's been with me. My parents, I'm thankful to the Lord. That was always been in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. I honored my folks as unto the Lord. And my mom and dad never provoked me to wrath. There were times I could have provoked them to wrath, but they loved me, and they loved me in the Lord, and they encouraged me. Same with my brothers and sisters. We will always have disagreements and different things of that nature, but it's the love of God that even beyond our natural family bonding, we're the family of God. Amen? And there's a oneness in that. Then I was thinking about even my best friend Sean, and my boys tease me about him all the time because, you know, in high school, I might have been popular in the wrong way. I wasn't really the nicest person in high school. I could have been a lot nicer. But, you know, the Lord just growing me up, different things, and I understand that. But the Lord gave me one yoke fellow best friend, and his name was Sean, and I met him when I was in fifth grade. And I mentioned this many times, and I love his testimony. I'm sorry, I'm looking at my watch. I just don't want to go overboard. But it's hard not to with you, and I hope you enjoy it. But he would always come to my house, so I finally started to go into his house. And after I'd been there two or three times, and I noticed that every time I come over here, Sean, there's nobody here. And I could tell that he was a little bit embarrassed. And because I was starting to see something, that there'd be money left out for him. And one time we had to go down to the store and buy the groceries together, walk back with him. And then I finally said, Sean, what's up? He says, well, my mom is in a hospital. She was committed to a mental hospital. My dad left. I have a stepdad who loves me, but he works graveyards. I never see him, and he leaves me money to do everything since fifth grade. And that young man was an incredible athlete, handsome. Every girl liked him. And I thank God for him. He knew Jesus as his Savior. His brother, that was a stepbrother, went to the service, got saved there, much older than him, came back when he was in fourth grade, and Sean gave his heart to the Lord. And he knew Jesus would keep him. He had a peace, didn't know anything more about the Word of God except the absolute truth that his Savior and his Father God would keep him just fine. He never murmured, he never complained, he never moaned or anything of that nature. Grew up, grew along. That kid had full access, think about this, young people, to his house at 12 years old. And it was not a bad house. He could have had anybody in there at any time doing anything he wanted. But the grace of God kept him. And everybody liked him in those types of things. Now, I thank God I was able to bring him to camp when he was in ninth grade. And we'd fellowship together. He'd come to church with me. And 2 years after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Got a witness to him and tell him about the bridal truth, and he laid hold of it. In high school, believe it or not, my mom used to even laugh at us. She's back there. She'll even tell you. We'd go out, you know, we're going to have a night out. Night out to us, we'd get home about 9. That night, mother'd be laughing. And we would. We'd study the Bible together. Not every night, but pretty much every other whatever we'd get together. God did that. God did that. I had a lot of friends, in a sense, acquaintances as an athlete, did these different things. But I had one yoke fellow in Jesus Christ. And somehow, some way, by the grace of God, that young man was such a confidant with me. And I have to tell you, even though I knew more truth and, in a sense, a lot of different things, I was the one that always wanted to be more ornery than Sean. And Sean would have to be the one always that would say, Jess, we're not doing that. I'm so thankful for my friend. And I've got him still today. He lives in Pennsylvania. And he's my yoke fellow. I haven't seen him now for years. But spiritually, there isn't anybody that's any closer, bonded to me in any way, shape, or form anymore than that man. So I thank God so much for him. So it's all there for every relationship. But again, is the intent of that relationship to gather in the name of Jesus? Or do I want to gather with some relationships in Jesus' name and some relationships? I'd rather not. It's going to ruin the fun. Some things to think about. After every class, we're going to go to the Search Me, O God section. That comes from King David. David said, Search me, O God, if there be any wicked way in me. Let's find it out. Convict my heart. Let me be tender as we began and work these things into my life. So here's some questions for you as we end today. Does our love and respect for the Lord cause us to want him first in every relationship? Just want you to ponder that. Think about that. Think about that this afternoon. We saw and talked about Samson's end. It didn't end very well, did it? Never does when we go after relationships that aren't godly. Did you know that? How about King Solomon? Does anybody know about his end and how sad it was? That was the guy that had everything. His daddy was King David. He had more money than any man that'll ever walk this earth. He had everything. He was smarter than any guy that'll ever walk this earth. And yet it said that his wives turned his heart. And at the very end of his life, instead of saying, oh, praise be to God, I'm going into glory and all that, you know what he said? I've wasted it. The word he used, oh, vanity of vanities, empty of emptiness, I missed God's best. Because I'll guarantee you one thing, he wasn't taking one lick with him. Sure, he's bound for heaven, but he knew he didn't receive what his father David did. I take it to Isaac. I love about Isaac's treasure. I mentioned this real quick, young people. Isaac listened, if you can imagine this, he listened to his dad to even choose his wife. Did you hear that again? He listened to his dad to choose his wife. He didn't even get to meet her. He didn't even get to see her. Do you know that that's the bridal message? Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God in that respect of the, yes, Jesus lives in you. But as far as this selection for his wife, God has sent the Holy Ghost, just like Abraham sent the servant, to find that wife for his son. That's Genesis 24. Read that this afternoon. It's a great read. It's awesome. But in respecting his dad to send the servant to choose the wife, hey, fellas, listen to this. His wife, Rebecca, was so absolutely beautiful and amazing and everything about her that when she was, I don't know, what, 60, 70, 80 year old, All the kings of all the earth were still hitting on that woman to try to get her. Let's just say it how it is. She was hot. And it didn't stop. I'm not saying that's everything, but that's okay. Better stop. I'll get myself in trouble. David's bond with Jonathan, a friend that their love surpassed the love between a man and a woman. I love that. I have that with my mom and dad. I have that with my brethren. I even have the love that surpasses a love for a woman with my wife. What is that love? It's the love of Jesus. It's that love. That's the love I want in every relationship. See, we don't need to make silliness about that. Man wants to twist things. That's just the love of God. By the grace of God, I can tell you that the love of God in my heart for you all surpasses the love of a woman. It's far beyond that. It's forever. It's a passion for you to have God's best. Then, am I seeking to be equally yoked with believers, or is the enemy influencing whom I choose? Should be quiet. Think about that. Are all my relationships in the name of Jesus or just some? Ones I choose. Huh? Hope you come back this afternoon. If so, here's the big one. Am I willing to allow God to change my thinking, change my heart? Will I stand for Him first in all my relationships? Huh? Give you one last little thing. How? Fall in love with Him. You fall in love, it takes care of all of it. Because I'll guarantee you, you can't do this. You can't just sit out and say, well, I'm going to change it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get rid of Freddie, and I'm going to try to get around Larry, and don't work that way. Fall in love with Jesus. He'll put in your life who needs to be there. It's like a wineskin, talks about in the Word of God. You pour in the wine, keep pouring in the wine, keep pouring in the wine, and all the dross, all the dirt and everything that was in the wineskin, it just comes out. Okay? Pour in the love. Give your heart away to Him first before we give our hearts away to somebody else. I've said that for a long, long time. Don't get entangled, especially in courtships, things of that nature, with someone that does not love the Lord. And the way that that can be taken care of is you got to be the right person first. You fall in love with Jesus. And if you fall in love with Jesus, I'll guarantee you, you won't fall in love with someone else that doesn't love Jesus. Isn't it amazing? We need to be continually hearing the Word of God. That's a good thing. Gather, come to church. Pray. Gather with those that follow Christ. Be around ones that lift you up, not ones that pull you down. We either rise to the heights of those around us or we sink to the depths. Choose wisely. Choose with a convicted and convinced heart. Ask God, and this is huge. This is why I underline this and put this at the end. Ask God to make me care. If you care, there's a tenderness. God will meet that tenderness. Okay? That's the first one. I hope you this kind of encourages your heart. And again, this afternoon we'll meet at 2. I pray you all know where you are going. Counselors, you should know. If you do not know, ask your counselors. You can leave your stuff right here on your little seats. Nobody's going to touch that stuff. I love you all. Let's stand and let's be dismissed real quick. Lord, keep us safe forever.